and into Vermont, and it ended as it always did, in a line of cars waiting to pass through a 12-foot-high gate topped with barbed wire. Arthur always thought the House of Correction looked like a high school, a 3-story block of sandstone brick with narrow slots for windows. He slowed to a stop behind a Ford Ranchero, disgorging oily black smoke from the exhaust pipe. A bumper sticker read, "No free rides, gas, grass, or ass." There was a bumper sticker a man could respect. Arthur's VW had been his mother's ride before it was his, and the rabbit had bumper stickers too, a lot of them. His mother hadn't let a square inch of the rear end go to waste. One said, "Are you following Jesus this close?" Another showed a picture of Gandhi and said, "An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind." They should have locked her up for crimes against her own car. It grated on him, parking his inherited Christmobile in a lot full of vehicles that had probably seen action as getaway cars. If the exterior of the Black Cricket Women's House of Correction looked like a big public high school, the lobby resembled a cramped ER waiting room. Fluorescent lights buzzed and cast a dispiriting, impoverished glow. A TV set played daytime talk. A guard, a heavy-set woman with a butch haircut, piloted a rolling office chair behind a scratched, dirty window. Arthur joined the queue, behind a couple in their mid-20s and a teenage girl. The guy wore black jeans, tight to his stovepipe legs, a sleeveless black Harley tee and a do-rag. His lady leaned against him, a woman with hard, bony features that she had tried to soften with blusher and bubblegum pink lipstick. The teenager stood close by, head down, face hidden behind her own unwashed yellow hair. She had on a Guns N' Roses tee that was too small for her, exposing her midriff. Her acid-washed jeans sagged to reveal the top of her shiny black thong. Arthur looked away, felt somehow it was indecent to have noticed. "She can't go in there wearing that shirt," said the officer behind the window. She pointed at the teenager. The girl craned her neck to peer down at her GNR shirt as if to hunt for an offensive stain, and Arthur realized, with a jolt, that he knew her, not by name, but by profession. She delivered pizzas for Shut Up and Eat It Pizza in Potamaquassi, and marijuana or shrooms as well, if you knew what to order, and Arthur's roommate, Donovan McBride, did. She turned up at their off-campus student housing once or twice a month to bring Van a sausage pie and a baggie of green. Arthur figured she hooked half the campus up with weed and indigestion. "What's wrong with it?" the pizza girl asked. "No references to firearms. Cover it up or take it off." "You'd like that, wouldn't you?" the older sister asked. She put the pizza girl in a headlock and squeezed one breast. "Get an eye full of Tana's melons." Tana shrieked and twisted free. The guard let her bored gaze drift away. "The rules are right there on the wall." Tana rubbed her breast and said, "It's a concert shirt." "I see a pair of crossed pistols. Garments displaying drugs, weapons, or obscenities are not allowed in the House of Correction." "Volp, nice wanderer, you're cleared to enter. Your sister will have to stay here." The guard tipped her head toward the double doors on the left. "My sis is coming with us, Les," said the older sister. "What's that?" asked the officer. She cocked her head, turning her ear to the glass. Arthur thought it possible she genuinely hadn't heard. "Jane," Tana said, "I'll wait in the truck, whatever. You and Ronnie can talk to Mom. You don't need..." "Don't start telling me what I need. You're the whole reason we're here," Jane Niswander said. She turned her attention back to the officer. "I had to get up at 6 in the goddamn morning to drive Tana here so she could explain her latest fuck-up to our mother, and you're gonna make her sit in the truck because you don't like her shirt?" The officer stood. One hand fell to the baton on her belt. "You want to spend time with your mother," she said. "Keep running your mouth. We might be able to arrange a cell right next to her." 6 in the morning," Jane went on. 3-hour drive and I gotta knock heads with a fascist dyke." "She can have my hoodie." Arthur spoke over her before she could say dyke and get her pointy, narrow head knocked in. It was the girl, Tana, who impelled him to pipe up. She had shut her eyes, lowered her chin to her chest, and hunched her shoulders like a kid listening to Mom and Dad fight. In that moment, she looked not 19, but a terrorized 9, and Arthur couldn't bear it. Jane Niswander looked Arthur over. Arthur couldn't quite track the emotion.